Cool. We up for a message? Yeah. Come on. We are using the theme this whole year of faith. It's a big topic, and we've preached on it four or five times already. There may be two or three messages, and then we'll rest, but we'll come back to it later in the year. I want to stir your faith. And there's lots of definitions of faith, but maybe a definition is to have the total conviction that what you don't physically see now, you will see one day. That's faith. I know I haven't got it, but I know. I know it's coming my way. That's believing something. That's faith, isn't it? It's also believing that someone will do what they said they will do before they've done it. Are you with me? That's faith. And you often see that by judging a character. Are you familiar with what I would call a stage dive? Raises of hands, and people know what stage is. It's like you're at a rock concert, maybe, and the old electric guitarist gets a bit carried away with himself, and he's giving it the big un like this, and all of a sudden he throws his guitar off, and he runs at the stage. Do it. Do it. He does it. Yeah, yeah. I know you lot. You'll be like. And he dives out, and they catch him. Well, the thing is, if I was to set that up right now, and I asked Uncle Dan and Ugo and Ian and Johnny and Kenny and Justin and Peter and, you know, some of these guys, I'd look at them and I think, they're going to catch me because I know them. I believe, don't laugh now, I know you guys. If I was to do it right now, I'd trust them because I've assessed their character. I know they wouldn't want to hurt me and I know they'd catch me. Yes, men. Yes, 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 yes. I'm not liking the sarcasm in the room right now. But they would catch me. I would trust them. This guy on the screen right now, not so much. Have a look at this. That's got. You see what I do on my life? I'm preparing these preaching, but I'm just laughing, really. And there was loads of them, but I thought that was hilarious, that one. There was lots more, some inappropriate. And but here's the thing, when we're talking about faith and we're talking about God, we've assessed him, haven't we? We've read the historical facts. We've looked into the word of God. We've had encounters with him and felt his presence. By wave of hand, you felt the presence of God before. You know, it's almost like someone who doesn't understand that. It's hard to describe, but when you know, you know, you know, you know. You know, you've stood in the presence of God, maybe in a worship moment, maybe just in a revelatory moment, and you'll tingle or you'll sense something. You just know I felt the presence of God. You can't make this stuff up. You'll have gone on your own faith journey and maybe believed for a door to open or a situation to change or someone's heart to change towards you. And as you've prayed into it, you've shifted it and you develop a faith story. What's happening is you're understanding the character of God, that he will do what he says he's going to do. And he is who he says he is. And so therefore, you can trust him. You can stage dive into the arms of God. He's going to catch you. Are you hearing me? And the thing is, with God, lots of names attributed to him, but one of the names for God is Jehovah Shalom. I am your peace, the God of peace. But we need to understand with all Hebrew words, they're much bigger. It's not just peace. It's not just being at rest. Shalom means total well-being. And so you can trust God with your total well-being. And that means, in faith, if everything in your world isn't well, if you don't have peace, by faith, you might not have it now, but you are believing God is working on your behalf that you will see it. Amen. Because that's my God, and that's his character. So if it's not good, it's not done. We sing this kind of stuff, don't we? But that is the heart and character of God. He's not going to let you stage dive and go, well, I was going to be peace for you, but no, he is who he says he is. And you can trust him. That means in this moment right now where everything isn't well with you, you can still have peace because the God of peace is going before you. Are you with me? Challenging points, but worth fighting for. My title today, if you like titles, is this: Faith to Contend. Faith to Contend. Turn to the verse next and say, Faith to Contend. I'm going to start with one of my favorite verses. Those of you who have heard me preach before will have heard this, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, Jesus, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I love that verse. I can hang my life on that verse. My Jesus says my life is going to be full, and I believe him and I trust him. Here's the thing. We focus on the Jesus part, but sometimes it's worth focusing on the thief part. The thief is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, which means there's opposition. And wherever there's opposition, guess what? There's a fight. There is a fight. Jesus says, I come you'd have life. And that might look like different things for all of you. To be satisfied. Who believes Jesus wants you satisfied? You know, if you're not satisfied yet, it's not done. It's worth contending for. I believe he wants you to have some excitement. I believe he wants you to have some joy. I actually believe he wants you to push past some stuff. Part of a full life is you have to wrestle sometimes. And it's good for you to wrestle through it. And God thinks that's good too, I believe. Sometimes I feel like he wants you to have love and to give love. I believe for lots of people, he wants you to fall in love. It's part of a full life. And if everything in your world isn't there, it's not done. But I want to suggest to you, if we believe God is the God of peace and all well-being, and it's not there yet, we can contend. We can say, come on. We are not going to be pushover Christians that say, oh, my life's so hard. Even if it is, not to negate anyone who's in a difficult moment. But how about we stand up and say, I'm going to be a gutsy, fighting, contending Christian because I know my God. Sometimes you've got to fight for some stuff. A little story from our life. 4 years ago, my daughter Evie was in year six, about to go into year seven, which is the big school. Is anyone in that situation right now where you've got a son or daughter about to move up? A few people, yes. Feels like a big deal. The school you send to them, particularly at that age, at any school really, but particularly at that age where they're going to take their GCSEs and beyond, feels like a big deal. And at the time, and it may well have changed now, but they used to draw lines on where your catchment area is for the school. Do we understand that language? That wherever you live decides what school you're going to go to. Well, we wanted our daughter Evie to go to the Guildford School. The junior school she was part of fed to that school, and every single one of Evie's friends, bearing in mind she's 11 years old, every single one of her friends was going to the Guildford. But when they drew the lines, we were 30 metres outside the line. I could throw a stone at it. I was like, are you actually joking me? All of her friends were going to the Guildford. My daughter, 11 years old, couldn't go because we lived 30 metres outside the line. I was like, no, I'm not having it. No, not my girl. So we contended. We said, how are we going to play this? And so we said, God, we're not happy. But the thing is, if it's not well with you, the God of peace can make it well with you. And so we're like, okay, Jesus, come on. We're fighting for Evie now. We're contending for Evie. We push together. We pray together. We cry together. It just didn't seem right. It was 30 metres for crying out loud. 30 metres. Come on, I could pick me house up and move it that far. But it wouldn't shift. And in the end, we started saying, okay, what we're going to do? And we looked at a couple of other schools, but it wouldn't settle in us. We weren't happy. And I think God doesn't mind if we're a bit indignant and we stand on some stuff. And we're like, no, come on. So when the forms come out, and I don't know if you've ever had to fill in the forms. The forms are important forms. You fill in, what school do you want your child to go to? And depending on what you put first is really important, because if you don't get school number one, they can pretty much give you any school. And you could end up in Outer Mongolia somewhere. But we're like, no, we're standing on it. Guess what school we put as number one? Guildford. In your face, council. Guildford. And we're like praying, and there was no way. And we went to the admissions lady. She was a lady, and it might be admissions men, but she was a lady. And we chatted to her, and she said, oh, you're lovely people, but the reality is this. We've got 400 spaces and 1,000 applicants. She said, if you don't live in the area and you haven't got a brother or sister here, you ain't getting in. And we walked away. And I've got to be honest, in that evening, we were disappointed. But in the morning, we were like, no! It doesn't sit well with me. My God is the God of Shalom. And if it's not well with me, it's not God. So guess what? We kept pushing and we kept praying, and there'll be some of you who stood with us. Then came this opportunity. we got sent this information that they were opening up 30 places for people who had particular music ability. And we're like, there's our in. So Evie didn't play an instrument, but she can half sing. And so she went and she took this test. Hundreds of kids took this test because everyone wanted their kid to go there. 30 spaces. Cutting a very long story short, she came about 10th and she goes to the Gilbert. She's in year 10 and she's smashing it. But my point is this, at any given point on that journey, we could have just accepted it. Or we could have contended. And we could have said, no. We had to fill in the form in faith. We had to pray. We had to believe it. There didn't seem a way. But all of a sudden, just because God's amazing, he created a way where there seemed to be no way. And that's our story. And it will be yours. But guess what? You've got to sometimes be a bit gutsy. You've got to sometimes fight for some stuff. You've got to sometimes contend. Let's not be rollover Christians and stand up for something. Amen. Someone in the house? 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 15 says this. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Have you ever felt like the things come against you are just vast? Everywhere I look, there's opposition. Everywhere I look, stuff's coming against me. I'm just overwhelmed. Well, be encouraged by that verse. Isn't God the same yesterday, today, and forever? So the same God there is the same God today. And he says, don't be overwhelmed. It may seem vast, but the battle belongs to the Lord. And for our part, what can we do? We can pray and say, God, this situation is overwhelming me somewhat. Can you come into the middle of it? And guess who comes? Jehovah Shalom. The one who makes all things well. It sits in you. So you can, in that moment, now, if you're in a difficult moment, you can right now have peace. You can. You can have peace right now because in faith, you believe Jehovah Shalom is with you. And I'm going to play my part. The battle belongs to the Lord, but it doesn't mean we don't play a part. We're going to believe in faith. That's a mindset. I believe it. Here's the next step. Your words need to match your faith. Don't say, I believe God's going to open the school place and then tell all your friends, oh, we haven't got a school place. We haven't got a school place. Well, what are you saying that for? We never said once we haven't got a school place. We said they say there's not a place, but we're believing for something different. Your language has to match your faith. And then there's praying. Come on, praying's a weapon. It's not just a nice little thing to do. I said some prayers. No, it's bringing heaven to earth. It's causing what's a reality in heaven to be my reality on earth. It's being able to physically see there wasn't a physical place for Evie, but there was in heaven. And I said, Lord, just bring it down. And we had to fight and battle and cry and stand up and get frustrated, but we would not give up. We contended. And our story is she got the place. You'll get your place. You'll get your answer. You'll get your victory. But I believe your message for you today is contend. Stand for something. Fight. Are you with me? Touch the person next to you and say, stand up. Let's look at the armor of God. Feels like a good place to bring in the armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, those of you who are trying to learn your Bible, these are classics. Ephesians 6, armor of God, yes? Ephesians 6, 13 through 17 says this, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Turn to the person next to you and say, stand. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. Turn to the other person and say, stand. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. First note, I deliberately got you to keep saying stand. Why? Because that's active. It's active. We don't put the armor on and sit down and roll over and go, oh. It says stand. And it says stand again. And it says three times it says stand. That's an action. That speaks of someone who's contending for some stuff. It's not about rolling over and saying, oh, I'm going down. It's standing. Have you ever pushed against someone thinking you're going to give them a little shove and they'll either go move away or trip over or something, and you can laugh at them, but actually they've decided they're not going to let you do it, and they stand still and they just lean into the push, and you go, it's a little bit awkward. Can we be that Christian? come on, the enemy might be coming to try and rob you of peace and push you a little bit. We're like, no, I'm standing. I'm standing. The Bible says three times in one passage, stand. I'm standing. I'm not moving. I'm not going to fall over. I'm not going to roll over because I'm a gutsy, contending, fighting Christian with faith in my heart, believing the God of Shalom is with me. I actually think Christianity is considered weak around the world, but I think it's the strongest thing ever. Because surely the weakest thing is just to go along with every idea around you. I mean, I'm sure, let's not go into it too much, but I'm sure there are ideas around society today you don't agree with. I think a lot of people don't agree with them, but they've just got no gumption and just go along with it because it's PC. Well, we have to sometimes draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not agreeing with that. I'm standing against some stuff and I'm not going to move. Because I'm standing on the word of God. I'm standing and representing heaven. And sometimes it's tougher and takes more gumption to have a Christian stance than just to go with every thought process. Are you hearing me? Come on, we are not called to be cowardly wimps. There's a picture here of a soldier in armor. That doesn't speak wimp to me. That speaks contention. That speaks fighting. Now, hear me. This is a picture. These aren't physical things. I'm not going to walk down the city high street and look around and go, there's a Christian. I can see the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, look at that one. I love your helmet of salvation. Well played. I see some bloke wearing dodgy shoes. Oh, he's got his gospel of peace on. Don't worry about that. It's not that. It's a picture. It's an imagery. Sorry, I've lost the crowd. It's imagery, isn't it? It helps us to picture we have spiritual weapons. And it helps us to picture this fighter. And it's interesting that when stuff comes up at you, the description of faith is the shield. It's the thing. You might, enemy, you might come at me. People, you might come at me. Words, you might come at me. But as you come at me, I've got faith. They don't hurt me. I love that imagery. It's putting it up. When things come at you, you don't roll over and fall over and fall apart because we have faith. And our faith says, Jehovah Shalom is with me. And you can speak against me, you can come against me, you can cause situations to work against me, but my God will have the last say. And it doesn't feel right now, but it will one day, so I keep my peace. That's holding faith up. Are you with me? I hope I'm touching some lives right now. Anyone seen the film Gladiator? I think it's about 20. Is it 20 years old now? I'm so old. 20, how many? 25 years old. I'm a right old codger. Great film, though. Bit blood and gutsy, bit gory, but just brilliant. There's this point in the film where they've captured these guys and they called them gladiators. But in reality, they're putting them in the center of an auditorium basically to die. They send out their trained warriors with their chariots and all their equipment and their weapons. And they send out these gladiators basically with a spear and a shield. And they're all like 10,000 people just ready to watch them die. Horrific. But they didn't realize that in amongst the gladiators was Maximus Meridius, commander of the north. And he comes out there and he's looking around. He's thinking, oh dear, we're stuffed. But they've all got these 5-foot shields and a spear. And there's about 10 of them. And he says, he announces himself, gets the old goosebumps. If you get goosebumps at Maximus Meridius, imagine meeting Jesus. I am Jesus. Do you know when Jesus announced himself as he was being arrested? He said, who you come for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. They all fell over. Wow. I love that. When Jesus announces himself, it's not goosebump time, it's you're on your face time. That's my Jesus. He lives in my heart and yours, by the way. Anyway, back to Maximus Meridius. Sidetracked by Jesus. It's a good sidetrack. So there they are in this auditorium with all these chariots racing around them. They're outnumbered. It looks horrific. And he says, come together. And so they all put their shields up and they face back to back and they form a circle. So the shields are on the outside and their backs on the inside. And they couldn't be touched because their shields were up. And it formed the perfect circle. And he just said, hold, hold, hold. The Bible says, stand, stand, stand. And the chariots and horsemen and warriors are a bit confused because actually they're far more organized than we thought. Who knows if they'd separated ones and ones, they'd just got picked off. But they came together and they formed this circle of shield. And as the soldiers came in, a bit confused, they got up close. And he was saying, hold, hold. And then all of a sudden he said, now. And they lifted up their shields as the wheels went past them, and it tipped them over. And all the chariots fell over, the horses fell over, they were completely dazed, and they all broke out and basically whipped them. I won't go into the graphic details, it's horrific, but they win. And I believe this, that is a great picture of church. Because on your own, come on, you can have your shield of faith, and you can fight, and you can use it, and you can press. But sometimes the army is so vast, you're like, I'm overwhelmed. But God's idea is church. It's a family. We're not perfect. In fact, we're a million miles away from perfect. I'm leading it, for crying out loud. That's not a great start. But God is awesome. And he just says, just run with my idea. And he pulls us together. And what happens? Someone is hurting. Someone is struggling. So we pull our shields of faith. That the God of Shalom is still active amongst us. And we come in and we say, Kenny, you're hurting. Get in behind us. Daniel, you're hurting. Get in behind us. Surround them. Because when their faith is down, my faith is up. And if I could join my faith with your faith, and you could join your faith with your faith, and we could share it together and stand and stand and stand, we create this safe place, which God calls church. And we're not perfect. And if you dig deep, you'll find all kinds of issues. The perfect church does not exist. But just imagine if we got some of it right. Yeah. Just imagine if we stood together, and when you're hurting and struggling, you know, there's a community of faith that love you. And we'll get around you and we'll say, while you're down, we're holding our shields up for you. Because if it's not well with you, we're going to help and play our part for it to be well with you. And I believe this, that in that period, the God of Shalom can come on and touch your heart. He's also Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And in that safe place where you're surrounded by a community of faith, you heal and you get better. The place comes where you actually, I'm ready to stand. Let me pick up my shield again. I'm part of this. And the circle gets bigger and the circle gets bigger and the circle gets bigger. And it creates more space for hurting people to come and get healed in a safe place, which God calls church, based on faith. But I love this. See, faith isn't just a defense mechanism. It's not just a shield. Because on the Gladiator film, they flip them up, and it actually becomes the first form of attack. The thing of faith isn't just defense, it's attack. And so he flips them up, and the chariots fall over, and then they get out there. And I love that when you go through the picture of the armor, they have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's just like, we've got faith, we flipped you off, and now now there's some truth coming. You know, this is what the Word of God says about you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You're the head, not the tail. You are blessed. You are chosen. You are loved. You're accepted. Your eternity is secure. There are so many things about you in the Word of God, and that is your sword. You might come against me. Every attack of hell might come against me, but I defend it in faith, and I attack you with the Word. I will win. Jesus leads us victorious. I love this. Psalm 35, 1 and 2. Contend, Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up shield and armor. Arise and come to my aid. Come on, God's with us. It's time, church, to exercise some faith. If it's not well, it's not done. But it's going to take some faith to get there. And if you haven't got it on your own, that's why we, in our context at least, we try to have small groups. If you're not in a small group, let me encourage you. Get in one. Because that is where, in this context, you can't tell me all your stuff. But if you're with 6 or 7 or 8 people, you can say, I'm having a really difficult time. And what happens in that place? Shields come up. Okay, we're with you. We've got you. We're in this together in faith. And the healing will come, and then the day will come when you stand for someone else. But it's just the way we do it. So if you're not in one, let me encourage you. It's really important. It will bless you. It's time to contend and fight back and appropriate the truth of Jesus. I love this. Exodus chapter 17, verses 10 through 13. Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Sometimes to contend looks like standing at a distance in faith and raising your hands in victory for someone else. I believe it's a picture of intercession. They're not seen, they're at a distance. But there is someone on your behalf saying, Jesus, we just declare victory over that situation. Jesus, we call all of heaven and the weight of heaven and angelic support and protection. Jesus, we call your realities of heaven onto earth. It's this picture of someone raising up your hands and you're physically doing the fighting. I can't live your life for you, but I can stand at a distance and say, God bless them. Encourage them. Give them what they need. It's like raising your hands up at a distance, and all the while the hands are raised, we win. Sometimes contending looks like that. I wonder if intercession is something that's been lost in the church. You talk to older generations, they had intercessory groups all the time. Something we should talk about as a church, don't you think? Where we get together and we pray. We pray for the city. We pray for the vision of the church. We pray for health of our church family. We pray for the university. We pray for the schools. We pray for kids and parents. There's so much to contend for. And it's like the church is at a distance, not physically doing it, but raising our hands saying, God, come through. Sometimes contending looks like that. In Luke in chapter 5, we find this story of four friends who have got another mate, and he's lame. He can't walk, but they've heard Jesus in town. And so they put him on a stretcher. The guy can't walk, and they get him to Jesus, and it's so busy. The room's packed. They can't get in there. And so they go onto the roof, famous story. They go onto the roof, and they dig through the roof. I've always thought the poor guy who owns the house is a howler. But they lower this lad in front of Jesus, and he looks and he says he's astounded by their faith. And sometimes contending is to find your mate who's limping along in life, who's hurting and struggling, and just doing whatever it takes to get them in front of Jesus. Yeah. Because when they get in Jesus, they meet the healer. They meet peace. They meet hope. Their future is secured. Life springs forth at the feet of Jesus. And sometimes contending for someone just means getting them there, whatever it looks like. We've given you a little flyer as a tool. Maybe that just might help you contend for someone. I know you need Jesus. I know if you'd only open up to Jesus, your world would explode. You know, does anyone in the room who's a Christian ever regret meeting Jesus? Jesus is flipping awesome. Everything he did, he just made lives better. Everywhere he went, he opened eyes. He provided for people. He included people who were marginalized. Everywhere he went, life sprung forth. Amazing. Same Jesus. And we get this opportunity to say, I'm contending for my mate. I can see they're hurting in life. I love them too much. They need to get in front of Jesus. These guys just picked him up and said, we're going. Maybe you need to pick someone up over your old shoulder and say, I don't care what you'll say, you're coming to church this morning. Maybe we've got to be a bit more bolshy rather than a bit awkward. Would you fancy coming to church on Sunday? Now, how about, come on, you need to be there. It will change your world. If you encounter Jesus, everything changes. Are you with me? Come on, let me stir your faith to contend for people you love. Sometimes contending in faith means getting someone there. Some of you might be familiar with my son Josh's story and his driving test. Anyone heard it? By the way, last week, Josh preached at the 5 p.m. in Surrey. And did an amazing job. It's on YouTube. If you type into YouTube, Equippers Church UK, you'll be on there. You'll see it. He did an amazing job. I'll give him a round of applause. He's awesome. But Josh is quite a cool guy. And 17th birthday, we'd put some money aside. Some of the grandparents had helped chip in, and we had money for a car. And so the very next day after his 17th birthday, he buys this car, and he's all chuffed with it. You know, the classic 17-year-old. It's basically a Fiesta with a couple of stripes on it. And it's amazing. Isn't it? Anyone had a first Fiesta, 1.1? He goes, it's quite nippy. It's quite nippy. It's a 1.1 Fiesta. It's never been nippy. But, oh, it's quite fast. Like, it's faster than every other Fiesta out there, because it's my Fiesta, and it's got a stripe on it. Anyway, he's bought this car. Sorry, I'm having it up. It weren't that bad. And we did a deal, and we managed to get this car, and he was all chuffed, and we took him out. He was a good driver. He was a good driver, not too much kangaroo in. He was all right. You ever been in the kangaroo car? They're trying to pull away. Not too much of that. And we were really proud of him, and he put in for his test, and he was excited for his test. And we're like, go on, Josh, you've got this. Takes his test, gets four majors. You're only allowed one major. Four majors. His story is that he was approaching a speed bump so fast that the examiner hit his head on the ceiling. And anyway, computer said no. And so he said, okay, no, I wasn't driving right. I shouldn't have done that. I calmed myself down and took his second test. Second test, he drove really, really well. He's all chuffed with himself. And as he's pulling into the test centre, the examiner says, just pull over to the side of the road. And as he pulls over, his front wheel touches, with the smallest of touches, the curb. And he says, you drove never so well. It's the best one I've had all day, but I've got to fail you. You touched the curb. He's like, are you joking me or what? Touched it. Fail. That's a major. Loss of steering. He's like, oh, no. He was disappointed. He was disappointed that day. And he came back and went, okay, I'll go again. Who knows, it's not cheap. He goes again and he puts in for a get. You know where the story's going, don't you? And puts in for his third test. And humility's kicking in a little bit now. And takes his test. He's taking this test in Susie's, his girlfriend's Audi, brand new Audi. And put all the mirrors on and the rest of it, and he takes his test, and similar to the second test, he drives well, but it's almost like it felt to us, at least, the examiner was looking for a reason to fail him. Yeah. It just felt like that. That might not be true, but that's how it felt, and he failed for a third time. And he says, I lost my confidence then. Outstanding young man, sportsman, good at everything he tries, he's just good at it. Just like his dad. No, he's just good at it. Just good at it. And it's the first thing Josh has ever said amen to. And he didn't apply for a fourth test for a long, long time. And then the fast came round in January, just gone. We were like, come on, what are we going to contend for? And we know his life's just going to be better if he can pass. And he was like, I'm not sure I'm feeling yet. Don't I want to put myself through that again? I haven't even got the money. So during our fast as a family, part of what we fasted for was that Josh would pass his test. Contending. Like, come on. So we said, you know, he didn't have any money, he didn't have any insurance left. We'd sold the car. Greatest thing ever, we got £500 profit, hallelujah. Sold the car. So we had no car, he had no money, no confidence. He was low. But we got around him in the fasting. Who knows when you're fasting, something shifts in the spirit. Now, what's coming against him? We know it's going to be better for him. It isn't well. It didn't sit right. Shalom isn't in the midst of this. And we prayed, okay, God, make a way. And so he looked on all the test sites. I don't know if you've ever done it. They're months away. But he found one which was just like 1 month away. We're like, okay, don't think you should take it in Susie's posh Audi. It's almost feeling like you're turning up in a flash car and they're already trying to fail you before you started. But we didn't have anyone else. His driving instructor had moved away. I think he scared him off. And he'd moved away, so we had no examiner. No one could fit him in. He was really struggling with it. We were like, come on, God. And then one day, we got a phone call from a friend of a friend. And he said, I'm a driving instructor. I've got my own car. And I want to offer my services and my car to you for free. That's my God. Yeah. That's my God. So I was like, oh, okay. He gave him two lessons. And he said, you've got this. He said, just for half an hour of your life, do things normal. Slow, steady, hands in the right place, mirror, 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 mirror. You know how it is. You ever done that one? We got looking both ways. Mirror. You're looking at so many mirrors, you hit the thing in front of you. Anyway, he taught him, and he cutting a very long story short, he passed. Yeah. He passed. Sometimes contending in faith is to fast and pray, to see something change. There didn't seem to be a way, but we fasted. We called on the God of Shalom, and we called it in, and suddenly we were receiving phone calls from driving instructors offering their services for free. That's God, isn't it? That doesn't happen, but that's our story. My hope is you'll develop your own story, but it will mean contending. It will mean not just accepting what's happening, if it's not giving you peace, and saying, come on, Shalom, I'm calling you in. And just believing and getting your words to match it. We not once said at that fourth test, be careful, I'm not sure you're going to pass. Not once. You're going to pass. You're going to pass. We're standing together. We're going to believe it. He was a bit of a naught as well, because he passed and he didn't tell us. The only person he told was Uncle Dan. He rang Uncle Dan up. We're all sitting at home. We were nervous. We were shabba dabba doing for half an hour. Yabba dabba, yabba dabba. We were there. We were calling it in, and we were stomping around the room. And Susie was crying. Our hands were shaking. We were believing for it. We didn't hear a dicky bird. And then he walked in the back gate. We were like, oh no, what are you gonna say? Guffed it again. And he opened the door and he produced behind him his pass certificate. He went, yeah! And I went, come on. Contending faith. Come on. Contending faith. Every time it's better when we join together. There is something about joining our faith together which shifts something. Notice this. My stories have been about my children. Come on. Contend for your children. Fight for your children. I hope you're inspired by these stories, because not only did I fight for my children, I included them in the journey. They've developed their own faith. I know my daughter Evie's faith is different because she went on that journey. She knew it didn't look good. In the natural, in fact, it looked impossible. But when we said, come on, God, a weird door opened and she's blessed. What's that done for her faith? Come on, invite your children into a faith journey. Come on. Final verse, Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvations we share, I felt compelled to write you and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Come on, let's contend for what we believe. Come on, let's not wobble over. Let's contend for some stuff. If anyone's into films, epic films, or maybe you're into Xbox and PlayStation, who knows that so often it builds up to the boss battle. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's the big baddie. It's the one that's really hard to defeat. You know, we understand that. And these things are pretend, but we understand them. But in our real life, who knows, we have an enemy called Satan. The name Satan means adversary. That's what it means. He's against us. He wants to kill and rob and destroy. That's his goal. He hates you. He's against you. Jesus loves you. And so when things are coming against you, is that the spirit of Jesus or the spirit of Satan? And where are you going to stand on it? And so here's the thing, here's our truth. The boss battle has already been won. Amen. Jesus went to a cross with you on his mind. In 2024, he knew what you'd be going through. Time doesn't affect him, he lives outside of time. He's there, he's there, he's there. He's God, not restricted to his own creation. You were on his mind, and he defeated Satan. It says death could not hold him, and he rose again. And this is what he said. All authority in heaven and on earth is mine. Yeah. Let's go. Let's go. In that moment, the boss battle was won. So you might have Satan. You feel like, oh, it's Satan. It's the boss battle. He is defeated. Yeah. Yeah. The word says he roars like a lion. He's not a lion. He's just trying to intimidate one. He's actually only a little pussycat. He's got nothing. He's been decapitated. He's ruined. He's castrated. He's got no claws, no teeth. He's just got a whisper. That's all he's got on you. Oh, it's going wrong again. You're not going to win. But I put my shield of faith up and say, yes, I am. I put the word of God in front of me and says, his plans for me are still good. You can whisper all you like, but actually you're defeated. When I wake up in the morning, I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from victory. Jesus has already won. The boss battle's done. So we're not contending for a victory, we're contending from victory. But we are contending to see what's a reality in heaven here on earth right now, so you can touch it, feel it, see it. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's with your senses. Come on, if you're not tasting and seeing that God is good, there's some contending to be done. Come on, don't roll over. Let me, you know, inspire you. Stand. And if you can't stand on your own, get some community of faith around you and let them pull their faith in so that you can heal up so you can stand. But God's plans for you are good. Touch two people and say, God's plans for you are good. When you choose Jesus, you choose life and hope. When you're under attack, you can hold up your shield of faith, knowing that the God of Shalom is with you. Keep your peace. When you're in a difficult moment, let's be church. Let's pull together in faith. Let's raise our shields for protection, create a safe place. But we don't live in defense. We're contending. We're living from victory, contending that we'd see it right now in our time. Could we be a church, and could you be an individual with a contending type of faith that says, if it's not good, it's not done. And I'm going to do everything I know how to contend and fight for it. Can we contend for our friends? Someone in your world who you know, if only they had Jesus in their life, it would shift. What does contending look like? Come on, pray for them. Be open with them. Be a bit more courageous on what you might say. Is it an invite? Shift, contend for them. Can we pray and contend for our youth? Imagine being a teenager today. So much. It's so different. So different from when I was a kid. Contend for the youth. Fight for them. Cheer them on a Friday night. Cheer them on when they come in on a Sunday. Speak to a teenager and say, be an outstanding person in your generation. Let's contend for them. Contend for your marriages. So many marriages falling apart. Well, it's time to contend. Come on, you loved each other once. It's still there somewhere. Do we need to stoke up the embers of that love and contend for something? God's in the middle of it. Don't roll over and say, oh, it's not working out. We don't like each other anymore. Fight. Fight. Stand up for your marriage. Contend for your health. I don't know what your health situation is this, but fight with what you know how to do. Exercise, food, stretching, sleep, fresh air, nature, all these kinds of, we know that stuff. That's part of contending. But then there's the spiritual element of saying, Lord, I need you in this moment. I'm unwell, but you're the God who heals. Come on, contend for some stuff. Contend for that dream. Is there a dream in your heart that's not yet a reality? Contend, stand, fight. Don't look at the situation and go, well, this is never going to happen. It's all right for you, but it's not going to happen for me. Contend. Contend in faith that the God is able to do all things. When a door seems closed, he can open it. There's always a way when Jesus is in the middle. Are you hearing me? Would you mind standing? I'd love to pray for you. I just want to invite you to close your eyes if you're willing. No rules, don't have to, but I think it's helpful. Father, I want to lift up every amazing person in the room, every amazing person who will watch online. And I ask you to bless them. Lord, I want to thank you for Zephaniah 3:17, Lord God, that you're the God of love who sings songs of love over us. Receive it, church. But Holy Spirit, as only you can, in this moment, I pray you'd stir in us the faith to contend. To be men and women of strength, willing to stand and not get pushed over. Father, I pray that you would knit us together as a church in your way. I ask that everyone here would connect and find friendships, find laughter, and find that place they can be vulnerable and say, in this moment, it's not well with me. And that because we love each other, we can join our faith together and create that safe space, that healing space, that place of protection. Let's be vulnerable with each other, church. But I want to speak health to your church, hope to your church, passion to your church. Know this, Jehovah Shalom is in your midst, and all will be well. All will be well. Contend for it, fight for it, stand for it, keep your faith up, know your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. with every eye closed. It's always my greatest privilege to introduce people to Jesus. It's the biggest decision and best decision you'll ever make in your life, to say yes to Jesus. I promise you with authority, it will make your world better. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, or you've drifted away from Jesus and you feel like, I want to make sure I leave this place with Jesus in my heart, today's the day for you. If you'd love to invite Jesus to be the middle of your world, I wonder, with every eye closed, could you just give me a wave? I'm going to pray with you. That's it. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Just give me a wave. Don't miss your moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So good. So good. Let's pray. I'll pray a line and you follow me. Father God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that Jesus died for me to forgive my sins. I accept you, Jesus, to be my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. Today, I follow you. Be at the center of everything. I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just hold this just for one more minute. So good when people get right with Jesus. Again, just with every eye closed, if you're someone who's in a situation where you've listened to what I've said and you feel that actually I need to contend, if that's you, can just raise your hand because I'm going to pray for you. Hey, that's lots of people all over the room. Come on, people need to contend. So good. Thank you, Jesus. If you're not with your hand raised, maybe just reach out, and there's people around you that have. Can I encourage you at the end? We've got a great prayer team. Come forward at the end and share with them and let them pray for you and let them gird your legs so that you can contend and have victory in your situation. But for this moment, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for every brilliant person who's saying, I know I need to fight. I know I need to contend. Holy Spirit, I pray right now you'd put a passion and a determination and a contending spirit in them that says, I'm not going to fall over. I choose to stand. I choose to stand. I choose to stand. I stir your faith to believe that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he can do. And that if it's not well with you now, you will see it. I stir you in Jesus' name. But let that spirit stir in you to stand your ground in faith. And all God's people said, amen.
Let's give Paul's back.